Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
I have a question for you.
Oh, no.
Does Bella Hadid have a boob job?
Yeah, I think so.
She does.
Kendall definitely does. That's like confirmed.
Kendall does.
I feel like we've got to stop talking about this. Last week, I went into the intricacies of Brad Pitt's face.
Well, I just find you a wealth of knowledge in this field. You always know. It's like if I ever have a question, you have the answer about this.
Well, I have interviewed so many plastic surgeons, for one.
Yeah.
And I follow like a lot of accounts that keep up with it and do a really, really good job. If anyone doesn't follow IG Famous Dana, although I'm sure all of you do because we're all just sisters in arms here.
I don't.
You don't follow IG Famous Dana?
No.
Oh, she's good. She's so good. In fact, she actually just took down the Lemmy Gummies Ozempic replacement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you missed that little hot piece of news, Lemmy is currently facing a class action lawsuit for
Kourtney Kardashian's brand.
Kourtney Kardashian's brand. Yes. Sorry. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah.
No, we can't assume.
Oh my God. Lemmy live, Ivana.
Yeah.
Jesus. No. So she is, yeah, she's currently under fire for misrepresenting her supplements. And this new one that's freshly out and is being marketed as a replacement for Ozempic is like one of them. And this girl, IG Famous Dana, who has been very forthcoming about the fact that she went on Ozempic and it changed her life, has basically been like, this is totally, totally wrong. Predatory, I think was the word that she used. And frankly, bullshit. And this also comes out amidst Lottie Moss claiming that she OD'd on Ozempic.
What?
Yeah. Kate Moss's daughter.
Oh my God.
Yes. So she went to hospital, had the whole night, said it ruined her life, couldn't get anything down, was just nauseous, obviously unprescribed Ozempic. That girl is tiny. But that is like the big...
That's so scary.
We've said this before and I won't name names, but that is the big kind of secret around town, is that these tiny, skinny girls, models, are just fading away with the help of drugs like these because it lets you not eat and it makes that easy. So it's just...
Yeah.
Although this does kind of bring me to my inspiration.
Oh my God. It always does.
Skinny girls.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've got them on my fridge and they're inspiring me every day to be better. No.
Did I tell you about my mood board that I had as a child?
This is so dark. If you dark. Tell me Miranda Kerr was on it.
No.
Who?
Nina Dobrev of The Vampire Diaries.
That's real.
There were these photos of her that were taken at the beach of her doing yoga in this blue bikini. And I had such an unhealthy relationship to her waist, and of course all the interviews that I read, she was just like, oh, I just do yoga a couple times a week, like that's what I do. I haven't spoken this out loud, I printed out photos of her and I put it on the board to be like, this is what soon you'll look like.
Well, there's several things I want to unpack there. First of all, that it, I just find this total 180 switch up hilarious, that it used to be so taboo to say that you worked out. Like it would be,
yeah,
it was like the biggest admission of guilt and vanity that like you worked out. And now Kylie Jenner is filming her workout so people stop accusing her of being on Ozempic. Like I love a pendulum swing, you know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's so true. I know they're coming for the peep toes. I hear peep toe heels.
Please do not take me to my inspiration before I'm ready.
Wait,
for
was it gonna be this?
Wait. Slow down.
Slow down.
But I was also gonna say, as a bisexual woman, how did you contend with that in the sense of, okay, I am possibly like attracted to these women, but I also want to like mold myself into them? Was that at play during the Nina Dobrev of it all?
You know, it's tough because there were women in popular culture that I now recognize like, oh, I had a crush on them.
Yes.
And then there are others where I just admired them, wanted to look like them.
You
and I think Nina, I was like, I would die to have long, straight hair, you know, look absolutely incredible.
It's a tough one with Nina because, you know, there's this whole kind of narrative we've been spinning for ourselves for years, which is like, you did not peak in your early 20s. Like, the best is yet to come. 32 is really going to be our year, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And yet there's a lot of discourse online on the message boards that the hottest Nina Dobrev has ever looked is in those like first two seasons of Vampire Diaries when she was like 20, 21.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm going to say something extremely problematic.
Oh my God.
It's difficult to disagree with.
Yeah.
She was so I mean, she is still, but such an unparalleled beauty at that point in time. I don't think I'd ever seen anything like it. No. And you're right, waist. It's not present. And on to our next segment, 5 top tips to get your thigh gap.
Yeah.
Back.
Porthole. They should look like a ship's.
The eye of Sauron, yeah, through your thighs. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I don't want this to be like a thin spo podcast. Like, I pray, I hope you understand that I am rebuking my former self for what she did in the room with glue sticks, scissors, and print out pages of this girl.
No, my inspiration is I talk a lot of shit about the trends that I have predicted. I keep going on about it. I simply cannot shut up.
Yeah.
And it is because I say these things offhandedly in a quiet room to one friend or another, and I never timestamp the event. Of course, 3 years later, and everyone is wearing the thing that I saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
Here and now, I'm putting them in writing, in That's audio true.
This
form.
Is helpful, I think, with the podcast.
No, I wrote them down.
You wrote them all down.
Yeah,
all
I your wrote predictions. Them down to be ready. All
yeah, of course. You're like the woman that like knew 9/11 was coming. You're the woman.
We've taken a quick break because Penelope is knocking over her box of Temptations. Penelope, who simply does not align with Thinspo, my cat.
Do you have like a protein bar?
Yeah, you're fading away.
I'm fading away.
Okay, hang on.
And I'm so sorry.
You had your snack. You're back.
I'm back, and I feel amazing.
Oh my God. And if that is not an advertisement for food in and of itself.
You have to eat it.
You've got to try it.
You have to. I mean, it's incredible. And I've gotten quicker at recognizing when it's like, oh, it's an emergency.
Blood
sugar is dropped. And it's like something happens where I have this like one like stomach churning growl where I'm like, it's all empty in there. And I know. And I just imagine what it looks like on the inside and I can't stand it for a minute longer.
No, isn't it bizarre that chemically it can ruin your life?
Yeah.
Like it can ruin your day, your mood, possibly your relationship sometimes.
Oh my God, yeah. The amount of fights that have happened for no reason. We're not fighting about anything. We're just hungry.
Picking food in a moment of like sheer desperation and hunger, especially like if you live in a culinary epicenter and you don't want to waste a meal.
Yeah.
Something, isn't that the biggest stressor?
Yeah.
Especially when you travel, when you're like, I'm fucking starving. And yes, I could have the Barcelona McDonald's.
Yeah.
But I only have so many meals and I can't waste one. I can't throw one away.
I know.
I need to go on Google Maps and find 4.6 stars and up.
That's crazy that you say that.
What?
Steven's metric is also 4.6 stars and up.
I know. It's like, he's like,
I can't. Yeah. That's insane.
Do you know what's crazy though? I have been to restaurants that I didn't look at because I forfeited them, like a 4.6 or a 4.8. And then I've been to a 4.6 selected by Chris and I never would have gone, never would have chosen it. Best meal I had in Europe.
Wow.
And I was like, what was the knockoff of that 0.4? You know?
Yeah.
Who came in here and ruined your life? Just like the bleep it.
Yeah.
Who took us down.
I know.
With her 1-star review.
Yeah. Who knows? Could be a stranger. Just a man who accidentally stumbled upon it and was like, what the fuck's going on here? What the fuck? Well, Bella Hadid, boob job. Shut the fuck up.
To bring it all the way back around to my inspiration.
Yeah.
And the trends of it all.
Yeah.
So I've talked a big game for so many years, and yet I have no proof. I have no moment in time that I can really point to that has been recorded into the cement, like a Socrates, like a Plato, you know, that I can point to and be like, the writing was quite literally on the wall. These are my trend predictions. Brows are back. We've had several years of skinny brow. I'm telling you, it's not going to last much longer. Bleach brows, out.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say. And can I also say, unless you're someone of like a darker skin tone.
Oh, it just looks like you shaved him.
What really brings it home is the contrast of skin to eyebrow color.
Yeah.
In any sense, from light to dark, from dark to light. It gorgeous.
It's we look at life in
contrast.
In contrast,
chiaroscuro, yeah. Some yeah. might say.
Yes,
but to see it, a faded in brow to a skin.
Yeah,
it's not framing the face how brows have promised to do. So I think brows are going to be back. Just keep an eye out. Peep toe shoes.
I hate them.
I've said it once. I've said it again. I will continue to say it, and you know why I'm saying it now. Because when Addison Rae stepped on that goddamn VMAs carpet, and we'll get to the VMAs today, Ivana, you just hold tight.
Yeah.
In a peep toe satin shoe, I said, here we go. Peep toe shoes, much like Jeffrey Campbell leaders, which have been highly publicized already, is making their way back around, are on their way in. T-strap sandals. T-strap shoes in general. We are coming out of summer, so it will be a different point in time very soon. But T-strap shoes, back. Ankle socks. You heard me. You let that sink in.
Tiny babies? The little ones that are the hidden ones?
The tiny babies. So this is a really controversial one, and a lot of people will disagree. But I said it aloud a couple of weeks ago. I said, ankle socks are back. I was watching Mamma Mia. And Amanda Seyfried was running around that goddamn island in her little Converse and ankle socks. And I thought, there's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there. Trend cycle every 15 years. We're 15 years since that release of that movie. And let me tell you, the ankle socks are coming. I stood in a coffee line the other day behind a very cool looking girl. Ankle socks.
Whoa.
Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. Is that everything? Pretty much. High waist, but we all knew that.
Yeah, of course. That, I mean, I can't wait to confirm that you're right, because you've been right about everything. I want to call out, because you may be humble, but you called slip dresses.
Yes.
You said you showed up in a slip. People were like, why are you wearing?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
This is a long time
ago. Ballerina, I feel like you were early to ballerina.
I in fact, bought real dance shoes,
yeah,
because they weren't readily available at the time that I wanted to wear them.
Everyone and their mother has a ballerina shoe on the market.
The waistcoat one was really wild, because I saw a very cool friend of mine wearing one in 2018. Tashi,
mm-hmm.
You are my guiding light. And I knew, and she's someone who chooses clothes based on like liking them.
Yeah.
She'll like see it and be like, cool. She doesn't need any outside confirmation. It's like no Pinterest board. There's like no like as seen on Celebrity. Like she'll see something and like be like, oh, that looks cool. Put it on her body. Love. She was wearing a waistcoat. And I thought, my God, there's something there. Mm-hmm. And it's coming, and it's coming in a big way. What do you know? You can't walk into a Bershka without seeing 60 mannequins in a waistcoat.
That's true. Hailey Bieber, constantly in a waistcoat.
Oh my God. Demi Moore's press tour is entirely menswear.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So this is what I have. This is what I present to you. And some may be wrong. You know, I might not be on the money with all of them, but this is what I'm saying here now in this moment. Peep toes, ankle socks, T-straps.
I'll never wear a peep toe. Mark my words.
Oh.
I'll never do it.
But you will.
The two toes out. The two toes alone.
Piggies out. Piggies out for the boys.
I love a strappy sandal. Like all the things, a little thong sandal, I think super fun, mm-hmm. cool. But just the two little falcon toes straining against the too small opening at the tip of the shoe.
You don't think there's something about it though? There's something like peekaboo. I mean, that's why they're called
peep toe.
Yeah. Fun, sexy, pinup about a peep toe?
No.
They really do it for me.
Really?
You know what I always try to like, and without fail, never can, no matter how many times the trend forecasters declare them back in fashion, is espadrilles. I have tried.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't do those either.
And I failed.
Yeah. I can't.
There's something about the woven flax.
It is.
It's
like wearing hay on the foot.
It's wearing hay on the foot. It's like, put me out in the field. Yeah. I need to hoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the kind of hoe I want to be.
No, no. And even, and I love like something that ties around the ankle. I have a lot of like lace up, like a gladiator. That was a trend that I loved and will continue.
I've got to tell you, that is also on the way.
On the way.
Yeah.
Little further up, but coming.
Mm-hmm, coming.
Yeah. That I can get behind. But yeah, the espadrille, I can't. And it's in every like French girl, it girl, beauty moment,
yeah.
Timeless, Coco Chanel.
Yeah. Like pair it with a sundress and a floppy hat and you're away laughing.
Yeah.
You're simply drinking espressos.
Yeah, by the sea.
And speaking of espressos, come on.
Come on.
Come on. That's that ago espresso, am I right?
Yeah.
That's that aggresso.
Aggresso. Aggresso. When uggos fight, it's aggresso.
Today it's all about Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
There used to be only one Sabrina, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and now...
There's so many.
I wonder if there will be like a really hot baby name.
Oh my God, I think there for sure. Sabrina right? This year, everyone's naming their baby Sabrina. Everyone's babying their... God.
What?
The mind went. The mouth went.
The mouth and the mind.
Yeah, both together.
Lunch. It's all right. Just keep it short and sweet.
I know. I think Chapel,
did
Sabrina...
Did you not get that?
Keep it... Oh, that's good. Damn, that's good.
God, I hate it that's when it goes
so
up your head.
I know. I'm so sorry. And it's always because I'm in my own little world over here. Which, wait, my inspiration.
Oh my God.
Oh my
what
God.
What is it? What is it?
Oh my God. It's me being in my own little world over here. And I have a visual aid, actually.
Skedow.
I went to the eye doctor this week, texted you as I was on my way there. You were like, so jealous, wish I could get glasses. Mm. And I was like, oh, my vision's going for sure. My eyesight's going.
What is it? 1820?
Yes.
No, it's not.
But yes, it is. But what it is, the problem, which I've learned a lot, I can't believe that this happened. It's eyesight and vision are different. I went in because I've been having a really hard time driving at night. Like, I just feel like I'm like, I can't see shit out here. Mm-hmm. Can't see shit. Like, having a really tough time staying within the lanes. Like, I was like, oh my God, I was expecting to go in and they were going to be like, your eyes are 200 and 150.
Elderly woman at the wheel.
Exactly. Of like, license revoked. And she did a bunch of tests and she was like, your eyesight is great, but your vision is not good. And I was like, what are you talking about? Those are the same thing. To an optometrist.
You're like, have you heard of synonyms?
Yeah.
I do this for a living.
Yeah. I'm like, that copy, there's a problem there. Vision is, eyesight is like what your eyes actually physically see. Vision is what your brain sees, what your eyes communicate to your brain. That's vision. I don't have any depth perception because I have... Oh God, I can't remember the name now, but if any of these symptoms sound like you, reach out to me and I'll tell you what it is. But basically she asked me a bunch of questions where I was like, yeah, of course. She's like, when you read things, do you have to read them two or three times to understand them? And I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like when I'm reading a book, I find that I'll like read the same paragraph.
You are a slow reader.
And like when I really get into a flow, like I can rip through books, but when I'm reading like an email, it takes me a really long time. And a part of that is she was like, do you find that you have to put your finger on things to follow? And I was like, yeah, always. I always get made fun of because my laptop screen looks like this.
Wow.
There are like fingerprints
everywhere.
All over it. And Steven is always like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you touching your laptop screen ever for any reason?
Yeah.
It's just look at it. But I can't because of my vision disorder. Like, I can't find things if I lose them. It takes me a really long time to
Not
like my
vision
eyes to
disorder.
Find. I know. And she found it so funny that I was a writer. She's like, it makes it so hard to read. Like, you know, it's hilarious that you write for a living when it's impossible to find your place when you read and sentences sort of like leave you. 80% of what we learn is visually and you have a hard time visually. And she said other things like when you parallel park, like, do you feel like you can like gauge the distance of the car in front of you and behind you? And I was like, not at all. I just thought I was like a terrible parallel parker. And then she put glasses on me. The corrective glasses and was like, can you look out there and see how you can tell the distance of this now? And I was like, yes. And I was like, those kids in those videos that get the colorblind glasses on. I cried in her office. No. I was like, you're telling me this is what it looks like when other people read books? Like, it doesn't just look like a jumble of words.
Whoa.
I put the glasses on and it was like sentences all of a sudden. I didn't have to trace them with my finger.
No, look, it is incredibly chic when you watch those episodes of Below Deck and they are guessing how far the dock is away from the boat in meters.
Yes.
I envy that ability so much. They're like, that's 150. That's 150 right there. And now we're at 120.
That's crazy.
It's really sick.
Couldn't be me.
That's going to be you now.
I know. So I need to get glasses. They cost more money than I have, but it's like $3,000.
For a pair of spectacles.
For two pairs. One for reading, one and reading and like watching movies and things that are like closer, and then one for driving and like things that are farther.
Okay, there are some industries where that just guessing.
Yeah.
That just, what do you think they'd pay?
Yeah.
What? Three.
Let's try three.
Three. What are they gonna do?
Crazy.
She just found out she can't read.
What's she gonna do? Not pay $3,000?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. So my mind's been really blown this week, and I wasn't expecting to cry, but I absolutely did. I was just like, oh my God, what?
No, of course. You were one of those children from an impoverished community that's been given like a Range Rover behind the bus of Home Improvement.
Oh my God.
What is it called? No.
Yeah. Move that bus.
Move that bus.
And then they always like break down into tears.
Yeah.
And
that's what happened.
Someone
to
painted their home lime green on the inside. And that's their favorite color.
And left it was like, they look so beautiful. And left them with $300,000 a year in property taxes.
Oh my God. Okay.
But like, we heard you like butterflies.
Yeah.
We built this chrysalis for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Go like, sit in this tiny
butterfly garden instead of a master bedroom.
Don't you love it?
The kids' bedrooms always. It was just like, it's like, God for fucking bid they said anything about liking soccer. It's the room's a soccer ball now.
Okay, well, that's incredible news. I'm so happy to hear it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you someone who, maybe isn't short-sighted, but it's certainly short.
Oh my God. I was just going to say that's one of your best.
Well, the woman's 4'11".
We can't
look past it. She's 4'11".
That is teeny.
I don't really know anyone that small.
No.
In real life.
My grandma.
You know, there was a time, not to trigger one of our listeners, the girlfriend of Chris's brother, but there was a time where Chris's brother only dated women who were 5'2" and under. That's it was insane. Really wild.
And how tall is he?
He is 6'4". And it haunts me to this day. I mean, one time we found a denim jacket left over by, a sutress in his room. And we pulled it out and it was like
an Old Navy size 10.
Yeah, it was made for 10. It was made for a child.
That's so funny.
But it was really crazy. There was like a series of women that were very, very small, just one after the other, after the other. And it was like, is this your type? Or are these women so emboldened in their pursuit, kind of like short man syndrome, where they're like, there's nothing to lose. I've already lost inches. I might as well go for the big fish.
What? My grandmother is like 4'11", maybe 5 foot.
Yes.
She's a very small woman.
Yeah.
The first time her and my grandpa were set up on a blind date.
Mm-hmm.
And when she walked into the room and saw him, she went, too tall, left.
Wow.
Was like, that man's too tall. What am I going to do? No.
Yeah.
No, left. Left him to just rot in that bar. And then they got set up again as like a reschedule because he was like, you didn't show up. And she was like, oh, yeah. And then was like, oh, I guess I'll look past his gross tall height.
Well, it has always freaked me out when like a tall man, like a traditionally like tall man. Now I'm saying like we're in NBA player territory here. Always goes for a very small woman. And I don't think it's right. And I'm going to say right here, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. I think there are a lot of women who are 6 foot that cannot find someone that they don't look down upon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why is it this dramatic imbalance? And you know, that is something that I respect about Sabrina Carpenter, is that she'll go for a 5'7" petite prince any day of the week, but not always, because as comes up in this profile very briefly, there was a Shawn Mendes dalliance, a friend of the pod, some might say. The boyfriend of the pod. And back to back for him, very, very small women. Camila Cabello and Sabrina Carpenter, who are both, I mean, obviously under, 5'3", 5'2". Interesting. I mean, that man is 6'4", surely.
6'4"?
Really? 6'4". No, I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Definitely on the taller side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I would say so.
It always intrigues me.
Yeah.
Should we get into the profile?
I can't wait. I honestly can't wait. It's so fun.
Okay, so this ran in Rolling Stone in June. So they did good here. They were ahead of Short and Sweet. They were pretty much on the money with Espresso climbing the charts. And the title was thus. Sabrina Carpenter gave us the song of the summer, but she's got a plan for all seasons. That's good.
Yeah.
The Espresso hitmaker goes deep on her upcoming album, Deeply Honest Lyrics. Oh. The double deep?
Oh,
someone should have corrected this deck.
Oh my God.
The Espresso hitmaker goes deep on her upcoming album, Deeply Honest Lyrics and Quality Time. What's that? Taylor Swift. That your face does not bode well.
No. I mean, yeah, that feels like something to catch.
Is that, that's not kind of a double entendre, like her sexual prowess.
No.
Deep and deeply?
deep and deeply together.
No, I think someone missed that.
Yeah. I think it was probably the last thing that got inputted.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not horrible. It's not like, there's no typo. No. Technically.
It truly is when you write these decks, like, oh, fuck, what did they talk about? Okay, yeah. She talked about Taylor Swift really quickly. There's like a throwaway sentence about that. There's like, I guess we got into her like lyrics for a little bit.
That's exactly how it goes. And it's always, you're like exhausted and exhaling where you're like, okay, and then it always has to be kind of like cutesy in some way.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Gets, you know.
We flirted with.
Yeah.
In a first of its kind interview.
Yeah.
Do you write your decks for your editors?
I did when I was doing like a lot of music ones where it'd be like, da da da, like, you know, we got deep on like her new album. Mm-hmm. The reason that she's not talking breakups and, and why Bono is it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And that fateful run in with Bono.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
I still write them.
Yeah.
I feel like it almost sells the story to the editor before they edit it. And I'm like, you know what? You're going to be happy with this. It's a total con.
Yeah. A little wink.
A wink. But the story is written by Wace Aramesh, who is actually the social media lead at Rolling Stone.
Cool.
A kind of a departure. Yeah. Director of social media by way of Complex. And he oversees a bunch of social editors. He's chronically online, self-described. Covers all things, you know, pop music, internet culture. And this may very well be his first cover story. I know that he's profiled John Summit and Tate McRae and Fletcher. So very kind of pop zeitgeisty people. But I've not seen a cover from him before. And I did scour his socials just in case. So this could be a really big moment for him and for her. I will say up top, my takeaway was that I do kind of wish this had been written by a woman, because I think the kind of the shorthand of like cutting to the quick about like breakups and just, you know, being alive as a woman in this industry and what must go along with that. Like, I wish it was a little bit about makeup and hair.
Makeup and hair.
We didn't get that. But we did get kind of what is a real deep dive, to use their words, in her music and how she got here, which I think is like very interesting. So a little bit of background on Sabrina. She broke through as Maya Hart on Disney Channel's Girl Meets World. But before that, she was doing like YouTube covers, and she even did Taylor Swift's Picture to Burn.
I know. Which, what a full circle moment.
What a full circle moment. She has had 6 albums over the past 10 years. Her debut was Eyes Wide Open and then Evolution, Singular Act 1 and 2. And then she describes Emails I Can't Send, which was her 2022 album, as this first big girl foray into music making. Like, she was like, the rest of that didn't count because of the person and artist I was pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic, which I'm kind of obsessed with.
Yeah, like, just delete it.
No,
I'm
drawing
now
a veil, yeah, over anything pre-pandemic. Like, yeah, who was she? Don't know her. She basically emerged post-2020, a fully actualized bottle rocket blonde. So Emails I Can't Send had a couple of big hits and really garnered a lot of popularity on the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, which Sabrina opened for early on. So Nonsense was the big hit, and she would kind of like mix the outro for every new show. And they got increasingly sexual, which also had some backlash. There was one that was like about Singapore.
Down on all fours.
Yeah, down on all fours.
Go faster. Like,
it left me sore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's visceral.
Yeah.
This is all to say, I mean, look, she has just been on a stratospheric rise ever since. And we get into that right off the bat in this profile, which opens thus. On a warm day in July of last year, Sabrina Carpenter woke up in a tiny village south of Paris and headed to a crêperie. I've got to stop doing this. Why do I always commit to the foreign word?
But I love it.
Should I just crêperie?
It's worse.
It's worse?
It's not honest to you.
Which happened to be the only restaurant in town. The singer had just finished some tour dates and was spending a bit of downtime exploring France. Like any self-respecting European cafe, this crêperie, Carpenter noticed, served espresso. An idea for the song arose. I feel like this was a missed opportunity to say an idea for the song percolated. Or,
oh my God,
her like ears perked up. Come on. There's so many puns there for the taking.
One that would grow into this year's likely song of the summer. Released in April, Espresso is a preposterously catchy pop jam full of cheeky quotables, including a chorus built around the unlikely phrase, "That's that me espresso." Carpenter has had the song stuck in her head since France. And these days, it's probably stuck in yours. "I decided to put that burden on other people," she explains wryly.
Obsessed with the backstory.
Obsessed. She was only in France, and I learned this from a Zane Lowe interview, for 2 weeks, where she wrote most of the album, it seems. She was out there with two female songwriters, producer-songwriters. And she'd just come off tour. She was recuperating, and she just truly lives La Vida Romantica,
yeah,
by like disappearing into a tiny village and just recording and taking a real break and step away from everything.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those like towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noomi's Dandruff Defense. Dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, the dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula is amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay, you can go straight to numehair.com. That's numehair.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible, the best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense shampoo and conditioner, dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay, it's time to be flake-free. I'm ready to go.
NoomiHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER.
I'm on it. It feels to me incredible because this is a mind that I don't inhabit. That's that me espresso. I would never come up with that. You know, this is someone that I admire because they're different from me, not because I could do the thing that they do or think that I like operate on a similar level. It's beyond me. It's incredible. How does one come up with that? It doesn't make any sense.
That's that me espresso.
That's that me espresso.
I mean, you know, grammatically, I don't think we could wrap our head around it.
No.
Just from a conceptualization standpoint, that would get thrown out and then we'd be like, wait,
what are you talking about?
One more time. That's that me espresso. How is that you espresso? You don't have an espresso.
Yeah.
There's no ownership of the espresso. To whom does this espresso belong?
And the concept of a singular me espresso. Also shocking. Also confusing.
Right.
But it all works. And that's the thing. It's like sometimes you just need to be humbled by the genius of others.
And I mean, interestingly, she doesn't really see it as genius in any which way. Like any pop culture phenomenon, Wes writes, espresso has generated a slew of memes and Carpenter has actually seen them all. Back stateside, the two are sitting together in New York's West Village on a warm day in May. She's wearing blue jeans, black rimmed glasses, a white and gold diamond ring emblazoned with her initials. And the memification of espresso, Wei says, is something to behold. In rare internet form, it isn't born out of ridicule or snark. most jokes play on how catchy the song is, which I think is the big takeaway here. It would be so easy to be like, that's that me espresso. Come on. Like, what is she saying?
Yeah.
But the fact that everyone's like, yeah, and that's that me espresso. I'm standing on business. I'm standing on that espresso.
Yeah. And like, it's not always happening. I mean, think about what happened to Friday. Rebecca Black's similar.
A 14-year-old girl?
No, no.
It's Friday. Friday girl to get down on Friday?
Okay. It's me espresso.
I mean, you make a good point. But espresso unlocks this new level of stardom for Sabrina Carpenter, who has been like plugging away for such a long time. Although Wei says that when he meets her, the 25-year-old is calm and cerebral about it all. My mom has been like, do you feel crazy right now? Sabrina says. And she's like, I just love that people get my sense of humor. And humor is really interwoven in all her lyrics. I mean, she has spent more than a decade in the public eye at this point. And the fact that she is able to retain this, like, just like very laissez-faire, don't take it too seriously type of outlook and persona is really something to behold. And Wace describes her pen game as brutally honest about the ups and downs of love and stardom. It's just like not like any other songwriter we're seeing right now. This is not just your formulaic pop girl pop. It's fun, it's fresh, it's witty, it's exciting. And Jack Antonoff, her collaborator, says, the way she puts things, I'm immediately right there with her. For anyone who's got to see her alive and let alone record her, also, she's an unbelievable singer. When you're in the presence of that kind of voice, all you want to do is capture it. And maybe that's what she brings that Rebecca Black didn't.
Of course.
Vocals. That's
so true. Vocals. Vocals. Range. You know, she feels to me like the Eve Babbitts of pop stardom. She is not afraid to name names. She just writes things as they are. There's no like grand, you know, sort of
metaphor.
Lyrical of like, and out with the sea, we move inwards. You know, she is like, I do it better than your ex-girlfriend did. I'm looking good for you tonight.
Yes.
And this is my intention.
No, and what's interesting about it is someone would say that's like Swiftian.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel...
It's more fun. It's more fun than Swift can do.
Hey, you watch your goddamn mouth.
Sorry.
You apologize.
Pitchfork's down.
Because the way that Taylor tends to do it is when she's been scorned. She's like a lover scorned, and that is when she name checks. Sabrina also does that, but from a vantage point of LOL.
She gets ahead of it too.
She gets
with
ahead
please,
of it.
Please, please, please.
Yeah.
And the Barry Keoghan of it all.
It's like
brilliant.
Make the joke before someone can make it for you.
Yes.
And there's something like that feels really fresh about that. And also the fact that she is such a great performer, as we've seen at the VMAs this week. She really, really, really is. In this moment in time, she's still putting the finishing touches on Short and Sweet, which is the album she wrote that came out on August 23rd. So we're still fresh off Short and Sweet. I want to get your thoughts on it, so I'll put a pin in that. But at this point, she's practicing self-restraint with the music. She's trying to not overthink, make too many changes. Yeah, and this is something I think we can all take on. She's trying to look at her music in seasons instead of being like, fuck, like, why did I write that song last year? That is so unapplicable to my life now. I'm going to be so embarrassed by this. Instead, she's like, music is a season and a project should dictate a specific time. Just because I've written a song a year ago and I don't feel that way anymore doesn't mean it doesn't belong in a project.
It's like tattoos.
Yes.
It's like, what are we going to do? Agonize over our first tattoos? It's like, that's exactly what you fucking wanted at 18.
Yes.
That's precisely what you wanted. You sat for the whole session.
The blown out rose above my pelvis that I was drunk for.
Perfect.
That now looks like a blob. Have you seen it recently?
I'd like to see it. But all I remember is I think.
At that.
Yeah. My first one looks a lot like that too. It's so blown out.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's so blown out.
I don't know what it was about tattoo artist seeing fresh virgin skin and going, let's go
as
deep
thick
with
as
it.
Possible.
Let's go deep and thick.
Yeah.
We really want them to remember this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember your first thought when you got a tattoo? Like, do you remember like what you were thinking? I remember clear as day.
What were you thinking?
How does Justin Bieber do it? This is so painful.
Oh, I didn't mind the pain. I was terrified. I was sick over like, did I put it in the right place? Like the whole time I was like, should I have gotten it like maybe a little lower? Like, is it too close to my armpit? Fuck. Like, no, it's fine. And also I had picked the spot because I could cover it with a bathing
bra,
suit or
of course,
a bra.
With your bra.
Because
just
I was
in
like
case
my parents.
In a work scenario.
Yeah.
Anyone should see. Your sleeve should roll up. Yeah. And it reveals.
Exactly. I was like, I can cover this with my bra so my parents will never have to find out about this. And that's like the whole reason I picked the placement. It wasn't because I liked it there most. It was just like, okay, this can be covered by a bra.
And now you have like an enormous bouquet of flowers on the back of your arm.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I know.
Oh, the things we tell ourselves.
Which that also, I went and I asked for a 3-inch tattoo.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
You asked for a 3-inch tattoo?
Yes.
It's your entire arm.
I know. And I didn't know how to say no.
Ivana.
I know.
Are you fucking kidding? You couldn't advocate for yourself over a tattoo?
I was 19. I was 19 years old. And I went in and I was like, oh, I was thinking something much smaller, actually. Like in the email that I had sent you, I was thinking that it would just be like a little thing above my elbow. And she said, I don't work like that. If you want any detail on this tattoo, it has to be this size. And I was like, I do want detail. So can it be any smaller? And she was like, no, like this will look amazing.
Okay. So you were like robbed, befuddled.
Yeah. Like- I mean, I just like, I didn't know there was an option to be like, well, also I had paid a deposit, which was like $100, which was more money than I had ever seen in my life. So yeah, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to lose $100. And I had looked far and wide, dreamed of booking with this artist. Like the whole first year that I lived in Chicago, was obsessed with her and was like, okay, I just have to do what she says.
Wow.
And like, it is still meaningful to me, but I'm like, yeah, did I wish it was 3 inches instead of, I don't know, 12? Yeah, of course. Of course.
Well, I will tell you a horror story. I don't know if you're very familiar with ephemeral.
I can't believe that you were, of course, you and Fry Fest, you're always me at the forefront.
Oh my God. Okay. To the Argos. If you haven't heard of ephemeral, it was a very hot tattoo studio that opened in New York that basically patented a new type of ink that is supposed to fade over time. They threw an incredible soiree, a launch party, honestly put together by close friends of mine, and I was more than happy to attend. And they asked us to pull from a flash sheet and be like, which you want. And the whole concept obviously was that it was supposed to fade over time. So it's a year maybe max, the tattoo is supposed to.
A year was a max, I think. Yeah, it was like six months to a year.
Maybe 2 years at the absolute max. The tattoo will disappear. So, you know, some people got tramp stamps. Some people went really wild with it because, of course, a tattoo that is only going to last for a very short and sweet period. Why not? Why not go crazy?
Yeah, some people got like tigers on their arms.
Oh, my God. The tramp stamp was, there were a few of them.
Yeah.
I got like a heart with barbed wire on my shoulder thinking like, okay, well, if I don't love it, it's going to go.
Yeah.
A year goes by, a year and a half. Coming up to the 2-year mark, it's turned a blotchy shade of green and it hasn't disappeared. I'm now a bridesmaid in a wedding in an asymmetrical dress, a one-shouldered dress, the shoulder bared to the world, the heart shoulder. I have a decision to make, and I say, I'm going to go and get this done for real, because even if it's a real tattoo, it's going to look better than the alternative, which was this kind of like green mess. The minute I get this tattoo redone, the New York Times expose hits. The ink does not fade as promised, and people got real tattoos under the guise of a temporary tat. It is a little bit Firefest coded in that
way. That's bad.
It's bad. I mean, what if I just got like, fuck mom?
I know. You standing up there at someone's like baptism as like a godmother with fuck mom on your shoulder forever.
It's brutal. Even like a tramp stamp, I mean, that's a big consideration for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's really not that it didn't fade, it's how it faded.
Yeah.
It really did look so bad. I had people ask me if, you know, like something was wrong.
Oh no.
Anyway.
Yeah. We got on a tattoo tangent. But it all to say is that I could not agree with her approach more. And I really think it's the way that we ought to look at all of our creative work. Honestly, most of our choices is just like, that was the season of my life that I was in at the time that this happened.
No, truly, it's no regrets. And I think that may be kind of the secret sauce to her success. She has now had 3 back-to-back hits between Espresso, Please, 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 and Immediately Taste. An incredible trio. I mean, I haven't been able to stop playing any of those songs. I mean, Espresso. If I was never to have another espresso again, I mean, my God, that song has been played. So at this point in time, Please, Please, Please is number 1 on Spotify's top global songs. And Espresso is number 2. incredible kind of call out from Wes here is that he talks about like this twang that she adopts in Please Please Please, which doesn't exist on Espresso, and it's really interesting. You know, heartbreak is one thing, my ego is another. I beg you don't embarrass me, motherfucker. And as she says it, her voice drops. It's almost like a yodel. And Jack Antonoff is like, there's kind of a Dolly Parton feeling here. There's like an Olivia Newton feeling here. The little vocal runs that she does are so bizarre and unique. And you get this old classic country thing. And this is why she's becoming one of our biggest pop stars.
Her songs are fun and her sound is unique. You can tell what a Sabrina Carpenter song is from another one. And I think that she rises above in that way.
And I think she's also a fan. And being a fan in this industry goes far. I think there's a tendency for people to be too cool. And she is not that. She pursued Jack Antonoff for a long time. She calls him one of her best friends now. She met him outside of a comedy club in New York a couple years back. And had basically been like, look, I've been trying to work with you forever. And they were so lucky their personalities meshed. And it is interesting because Jack Antonoff just hasn't been the popular guy in town over the past few months. People have kind of called him out for his work with Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift as being kind of monotonous. Tortured Poets Department specifically.
Yeah, people came for him.
People came for him. People were like, can someone let Taylor have fun again, yeah, please? And Sabrina addresses that head on here. She says, as a rebuttal to all those critics, fuck them all. Fuck them all, she repeats. I think he's one of the most talented people I've ever met. When he's in a room, he's literally able to touch every instrument in the room and make it sound magical. He also works very fast, which I appreciate because I work very fast. She also notices that her ability to genre hop from folk pop, alt pop, electropop, and more is like something that she's tried to hold on in the creative process going into Short and Sweet. And she's also being really honest. That is what we're seeing from like Gracie Abrams to Taylor Swift to Sabrina Carpenter to Chappell Roan. What we're looking for right now is honesty and authenticity. We don't want to hear like last Friday night, we were taking shots. It's like we want to really know what you're thinking, feeling. We want you to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Jack says, I think that the aesthetic of not giving a fuck or the aesthetic of telling it like it is has become so popular that there's a lot of people who pander to that concept rather than they are that concept. Sabrina actually is.
Which is so refreshing. And I wouldn't expect it necessarily, but I can see it in her interviews. There's a candor. She's not, I mean, and you sent this to me, but it was tough to watch.
Don't say it. I know you're going
to
say
it. The Addison Rae interview at the VMAs. That... which I have heard only incredible things, like that she's like a light to be around and like just like so wonderful. And I was obsessed with that look. I'm obsessed with her like smiley world, like her dancing videos. I went down a rabbit hole with them. But that video was tough to watch because you see someone pandering the entire time.
Yes, it was. It's tough to watch and I would play a little bit of it, but I physically can't. No. Just with just being comfortable in my skin, it just frankly won't allow. I loved the look and I love Diet Pepsi. I love the whole thing.
I love Diet Pepsi.
I love the image.
Yeah.
I love everything that's been put together. Totally. But the thing is that it has been put together and we know it has. We know that like she's got an incredible creative director behind her putting together that outfit. And I asked a fashion girl, friend of mine, who said that she did not like the outfit. And I was like, I'm so surprised. Like, I feel like you're very fun. You take risks. You would be really into this. And she was like, it's not that, it's her. I see and I feel her trying. And that is what she was like saying, you know, someone else could pull that off. I loved it and I thought she did pull it off.
I thought she did too.
But I do see that point of like, you can feel, and I don't want to say the strings pulling, but you can feel that there has been real thought and calculation put into this in a way that doesn't feel organic. Like I've heard reporters describe meeting her and that she is so switched on and hardworking. And even back in those TikTok days, is it Taylor Lorenz? I forget the...
The New York Times reporter.
She's at the Washington Post, I think, now.
But it's Taylor Lorenz, right?
Yeah.
She talks about meeting them all for the first time, all those TikTokers at the height of the pandemic. And that it was Edison following up with her and saying, when's the story going live? And she was like, oh, this girl is about it.
Yeah.
She wants to be relevant. She wants to be around. And yeah, there just is something different about Sabrina that doesn't give that. At this point, Waste references a song, Because I Liked a Boy, on Emails I Can't Send. And Sabrina is singing, "Now I'm a homewrecker. I'm a slut. I got death threats filling up on semi trucks." And it's interesting because, like, if someone else was to sing that, I think I'd be like, whoa, let's just, like, take a break. Let's take a step back here. Let's tone it down. But there's something about Sabrina. Maybe it is the little Polly Pocket package. But you're just kind of like, I love to hear that.
Yeah. 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 Fun.
He also talks about the song Opposite, which I've been thinking about a lot. Mm-hmm. It also came from Emails I Can't Send. And I don't actually know the timeline. Wait. No, we do know the timeline. The song Opposite is about Carpenter singing about an ex who hard launched a new relationship in Paris. And she is like, this person looks nothing like me. So why do you look so happy? Now I get the cause of it. You are holding out to find the opposite. Now, people have mused this is because Shawn Mendes went back to Camila Cabello after Sabrina and him were linked in 2021. I had another theory.
Oh my God.
Because who would be the opposite of Sabrina?
A boy.
A boy.
Oh my God.
I had it in my head.
A boy. A boy.
Me guessing. A boy.
A boy. That's true, though. She is feminine to her core.
Yeah. That is the opposite, some might say. But she talks about she wants her fans to find solace in her music. She's like, I hope they find whatever they need to guide them through their life, through my mistakes. Because I think the more open I am with my experiences, the more that other people are like, okay, that's happened to me and it's not the end of the world. Waste goes, what's the biggest difference between life when you released your last album and life now? And she said, I cried every day then. I don't even cry now.
She's been steeled up, it feels.
Steeled up. And actually, here's where we get to the Singapore lyric from the Eras Tour. She mixed up her nonsense outro, which people have been loving. Because, like, how often do you see a singer tailor a song to a certain environment? It's so sick.
And on the spot, it's all like, it's so fun.
It's so fun. I think you're right. I think the prevailing word is fun. But she said in Singapore, I told that boy to sit me down on all fours. I told that boy, go faster. Now I'm all sore. You hit a little different here in Singapore. It's the BBC, I wish I had it in me outro.
Yeah.
I mean, her VMA's 2021 outro was like, he said that it's bigger than a moon man. I guess that means I'm holding it with two hands and hands on the mic.
Ah!
It's like,
honestly, kind of fearless, especially for an ex-Disney star.
No.
Which she gets into, which it's kind of like, they crucified Miley this.
Oh, yeah.
They destroyed her, Demi, all of them. It was just like, how dare you? Like, Selena, you were a role model.
Selena with Come and Get It. I mean, Lorde came and got it with that.
Yeah.
Lorde was like, I really don't think I like trying to be mature and being like, come and fuck me. Do you remember that feud?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean,
Selena's fought with everyone.
What are you doing today, Mrs. Girl?
I don't know.
You are choosing violence.
I guess so.
Oh my God.
I guess I am.
Truly coming for the most incendiary fan bases on the planet.
It's true. It's true. Who can I touch next? I don't know.
I mean, if you want to go after the Barbs, I don't think you're going to live another day.
No, I would never do that. No, I can't.
We
never.
And Nicki Minaj stands on this podcast.
We love.
Speaking through duct tape.
Yeah. And there we go. And there we go. We've hit the trifecta now. And I like also that she calls out her age here, where she's like, those real moments where I'm just a 25-year-old girl who's super horny are as real as when I'm going through a breakup and I'm miserable and I don't feel like a person.
Totally.
And it is. I know that I've said the word fun 380 times already, but it does feel like this sort of radical movement towards I don't need it to always be this really like devastating breakup album. That's not where my worth is.
Yeah.
There's duality inside of me and I can have a good time and make a little joke, and I can also be devastated and, you know,
yeah,
destroyed.
And to put the, like, the Dua in duality.
Of course.
I think that's the reason why there was so much critique over Dua Lipa's album, Radical Optimism. You saying radical just took me there. The fact that Dua did not seem particularly real or honest on this past album, I think, is a big reason it didn't hit. It felt like pop tunes for the sake of pop. And when we love these girls the most is when they're giving us a little wink. I mean, Dua Lipa's opening monologue on SNL where she was like, you know, I love a little holiday, because she's always on vacation.
Yes.
It's like, yes, that is what we kind of are looking for, some sort of self-awareness, mm-hmm, some sort of like fun, like cynicism. And
also tell us about your lives.
Totally.
You dated a Hadid.
Yeah.
You know,
we just really let that sail by.
I know.
You were integrated into that family. There was a time in that family where Zayn Malik, Dua Lipa, Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, and Anwar.
And but there was like another girlfriend. There was another
one hanging out with Bella.
Bella. Oh, the weekend. They're the in-laws.
The weekend and Zayn Malik.
And Zayn Malik are all the in-laws.
I mean, that's crazy. They're all musicians. Like, yeah, that siblings also dated musicians.
They must love music.
No, it would be like a summit in that Malibu house. Just meeting of the minds.
Guitar for each. Bella does look happy these days. That's what I didn't mention when I asked about the boobs, but she's looking happy, happy, happy.
Although, I mean, the Western cowgirl aesthetic of it all, it's very like, change for the man you love and be proud of it.
Kourtney Kardashian in a Doc Martin boot. Blisters be damned.
I've never found a pair that doesn't give me blisters.
I'm done. I think they just don't fit my... I don't know what it is, but people tell me, they're like, oh yeah, once you break them in, they're the most comfortable shoes you'll ever have. And I'm like...
Not true for me.
When does that part happen? Mm-hmm. Because I've worn them now.
10 years?
Yeah. Yeah. I've had them for a full year. I've worn them like on various nights, double socked, mm-hmm, leaving bleeding no matter what I do.
And for what? Not one person is being like, cool docs, babe.
No.
What are those?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I love that.
I love those.
Not a They're soul. Invisible. You might They're as well be barefoot.
A hobbit at the party.
Exactly. In a frayed pant.
And the boys with the carabiners and the earrings and the mustaches out there in Silver Lake.
They're getting all the glory.
Hats off to them.
Yeah.
Because they are putting in the hard yards.
Yeah.
We can't know their lives until we've walked a mile in their docks.
It's horrible. It seems horrible.
Oh my gosh. But we do get into Carpenter's life a little bit here. And she kind of had performers for parents. Her mom was a chiropractor, but was involved in a dance company. And her dad played in a garage band, which is really, really cute. She was then covering music and putting it on YouTube. It's so cute because she is so not ashamed of that. She's like, LOL, where did I get the confidence?
Have you seen her like... Yeah, her little like skits? Home video. Yeah,
skits
of like things that we all did with our friends. But like if shown right now, I would crawl into the ground.
Die.
And she like posts them herself and is like, LOL.
I wonder like what her friendship structure looks like, because she just retains such a sense of self. She's so down to earth. She talks about being really excited to meet Chapel Roan in Coachella. They were both performing. And she was like, I was just as obsessed with her as everyone else is. And it's so difficult to reconcile the facts that we're just like two gals chatting. And then she's going to go on stage and do what she does. And I'm like, that is so true. That must be really wild. It's like when you hear a friend on a work call and you go, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm turned on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you always this brilliant?
Yeah. Rock hard for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Zoom, like, and thanks so much for asking that question, Dave. We are going to get back to the IRI in question. However, it's like, Jesus.
I know.
Even when you ask someone just like how they are and what they've been up to, and they're like, well, I've been charging $300 an hour and I've got actually 62 clients at the moment. You know, I'm just opening their new center for the homeless. Why have we been talking about the outcome of Desperate Housewives?
Yeah.
Surely there was more important things at hand.
I know. I'm here sitting with a celebrity.
I'm starstruck.
Yeah.
And speaking of starstruck, Sabrina is no stranger to celebrities and specifically celebrity boyfriends. Here, just cards on the table, waist goes, is Barry Keoghan your boyfriend?
Which I respect.
do you call him your boyfriend? Literally. And she was like, how do I skirt around this question? That's her answer.
Mm-hmm. It's honest.
Neither confirm or deny.
Yeah.
And Waste points to the fact that, I mean, it's hard to escape Barry Keoghan rocking Burberry shorts and a Burberry handkerchief around his mouth while watching Sabrina perform on stage at Coachella. I mean, who could forget that?
He seemed that fit. Giddy. It was crazy to watch him watch her.
You see all the little men in his brain running around, bumping into each other.
Because I do think, how is Travis Kelce night after night being like, because you know we got bad blood. And now we got problems. Hey.
But he is. But he is.
But he is.
Yeah.
I mean, she came to those football games. So it's like, it's got to be tit for tat.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, he's turning to a friend and being like, and what's happening?
Yeah. I also do find Sabrina absolutely addicting to watch dance. I don't know what she's doing.
I don't know what she's doing.
I don't know what's going on. Her body moves like water.
It's in the sachet. It's in the sachet.
I think it's because she's marking it also. There's something inherently slightly embarrassing about full out dancing. Like when you're out of breath, like, you know, slamming the ground, like sort of like doing flips. Mm-hmm. It's like amazing. Wow. Like what Pink does is like, oh, here you flip.
You mean the Cirque du Soleil of a Pink performance?
It is. And so no one would accuse Pink of marking it ever. Never. If they knew it was good for them.
No, no, no.
So Sabrina brings something different in that she is not, she's never out of breath.
No, she's just stomping up and down the stage in those platform boots.
I know.
And flicking a hand. And that's it. It's working.
Yeah.
I will say, big gripe with the VMAs this year. Should have been Tate McRae and Tinashe up there.
Oh,
the two best dancers we have in pop music right now.
I'm
presenting. No,
that's crazy. Yeah, you're right. I think it's because they have to be like awarded or honored in some way. Nominated. I think they have to be nominated.
Wasn't Nasty nominated by Tinashe? Wasn't it?
Well,
that was a stunning video. Wasn't it nominated for Song of the Year?
I don't know.
Oh my god, I can't circle back to that. But it should have been.
Yeah,
but also was it Song of the
last year?
No, it was this year.
No.
What?
It was this year, but weren't the nominees for things that came out before? Like
Ivana?
No, you're right. I'm sorry.
Espresso. I'm so sorry. Won Song of the Year.
You're right.
Song of the Summer.
Song of the Year, Song of the Summer. Song of my heart.
But with the Hollywood dating of it all, she's also realistic. She's like, look, the dating pool is the pool. And when you meet people that feel authentic and are so brilliant and amazing in every way, that's what you do. You date these people. And she was like, that may seem at odds with the fact that I write songs exactly how I feel. I mean, they're not mediated in any way. But she was like, so I guess I can't be surprised that people are interested in who and what those songs are about. That is something that comes with the territory. Waste draws a comparison here with the one, the only, the Taylor Swift, because obviously Sabrina has taken notes out of Taylor's playbook. She goes into here, I have become very close with this girl. She has played me all her music, and this is a real friendship. This is not just two pop girls collaborating or two pop girls like touring the world together. Like, I like her. She talks about the fact that they attended a Kansas City Chiefs game together, and Sabrina goes, one vodka cranberry in me and I'm not thinking about football. Which I love.
Yeah, me too.
God.
Also knowing her drink of choice.
Oh,
makes so much sense.
That makes vodka so cranberry. Much sense. It's like a Cosmo.
It's a girl's girl drink.
Oh, for sure. She is a girl's girl, I feel like.
Yeah,
in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And but there was like kind of a will they, won't they with Taylor and Sabrina in the sense of like, are they gonna fall out in this moment? I don't know if you remember that she did a Skims campaign.
Oh, yeah.
And that got tongues wagging as to whether she had okayed that with Taylor. And as it turns out, she had. She was very communicative with Taylor in the lead up to doing that campaign. And so she was like, so it's no weirdness. I know people will say things because that's all they have time to do. But I was very, very communicative with her about that situation. And I just love her so much and support her till the end. The smile does not shake.
Yeah. Obsessed. You sort of like frantically going on about like why you attended an ex-friend's birthday to like a friend that has like fully excommunicated them.
No, it's like I can hear her voice shaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like we actually worked that out privately. Thank you.
And we're getting to the end here because Wace kind of comes at her with a really brilliant question. I actually do really like this about his writing. He inputs himself in first person, which we've always kind of gone back and forth about as to whether that works. But I think it does here. He often writes down his questions directly and just like comes at her with them. So he says, I asked Carpenter if there was ever a moment when she thought music wasn't going to work out. No shot. I'm just annoying. I'm literally just annoying, Carpenter says with a laugh. I never had the plan B, and it wasn't even a thought in my mind that it wouldn't work out. I just always knew it was going to happen, and it wasn't about if it would happen, it was when. Her kind of manifestation powers, she said in her nonsense outro at Coachella, Coachella, see you back here when I headline. And she says, I feel really grateful this has happened over a course of a long time of me figuring it out, because it doesn't feel like it was sprung up on me in any way. It's almost like I can just relax and be excited about it. She looks at Wace with a grin. I say, Sabrina wasn't built in a day. Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
I honestly die to know what the Coachella lineup will be next year, because I think there is a fair chance that she's a headliner, that Chapel's a headliner, and that Charlie's a headliner.
I'm going, dude.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going.
I'm not making the same mistake I did this year.
No.
I've learned my lesson.
No, I agree. I felt only regret.
I mean, even just like watching the VMAs, it really just, and I then went into a tangent of watching like Tate McRae at the Brit Awards, and just like, I just love to see the girls live.
I know.
Talk about inspiring. It's inspiring stuff.
It is. It really, really is.
But I mean, Sabrina specifically, I'll say it again. I just think what she's doing is so exciting. We haven't had someone like this for a long time.
Yeah.
With the little looks, with how everything is so perfectly thought out in a way that doesn't feel overly formulaic. Even though she is signed, I mean, she signed to UMG with before emails I can't send, and that really changed the trajectory of everything, but it doesn't feel like there's some man being like, put that corset on, babe.
I agree.
Would you like to profile Sabrina Carpenter?
I think I would.
I know. I didn't even need to ask you this. And you will.
That could be a cute little matchup, us two.
I think so.
Yeah. I feel very happy for her.
Did you enjoy this?
I totally did. I think it's fun. It answered the questions I needed. I wanted to know where Espresso came from. It gave us that origin story.
It's not very Rolling Stone in the way that Rolling Stone usually uses music as a springboard and then really gets to the crux. I'm trying to think of a story we've read recently that was Billie Eilish. Eilish and Rolling Stone. That was a 2024 profile where it was like, oh my God, we're learning this girl masturbates in the mirror.
Yeah.
This is beyond what was I made for. We are out of what was I made for territory now.
I guess there's also no strife here. And I wonder if that's just because she hasn't experienced much strife in her life.
I thought that was mental health. Too.
But it's, yeah, we forget that not everybody struggles.
But the total absence of adversity. Maybe he didn't get a lot of time.
Mm.
Because even to be like, was there a plan B? And he'd be like, no plan B.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, when things weren't going so great, what were you thinking?
But
you
know? It seems like they always were. Like, she got her big break. How old was she when she booked the big Disney show as one of the lead characters?
Right. But as someone who had ambitions of being a singer and then was always kind of just plateauing.
Yeah.
That can't have felt good, knowing that you deserve to be a pop supernova.
Yeah.
I fucking love the concept of just being like, I know for a fact this is going to happen. It's not if, it's a when.
Coming from Pennsylvania.
Although there's been a lot of talent out of Pennsylvania. Alex Kaler. Cooper.
Kaler.
You jumping right to Kayla from Love Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cooper from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. And they all look exactly the same. Blondest girls I've ever seen coming out of that state.
Truly, truly blonde.
No, I always said, like, in San Diego, they're all blonde and they're all from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
UPenn, Penn State.
Penn State. I like them.
I like them too.
We need one of those in our group, me and you. Then we'd really hit our little power puff trifecta.
Oh, we do need a power. We need a bubbles.
We don't have a single bubbles in our lives.
We don't have a bubbles in our lives. We'll be on the lookout.
Yeah. If you're our bubbles, reach out.
Yeah, play within.
Yeah.
Also, we have so much we're going to tell you. Honestly, next week we're going to be coming piping hot.
Yeah.
With a lot will be going on.
I know.
But we absolutely love, adore, and appreciate you. Please. Please, please
oh, leave us a review. It can be short and sweet.
I know that sometimes we talk nonsense, but...
but that's just that Ago Espresso.
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.